Yeah. What did they have? They had them things they had coming out of their mouth, and they had
tushes.
Yeah. And
now that would be the male, you know. The sow didn't have those tushes.
When you got them mad, what the?
Give them room. Cut your leg off. Some of them.
Those were really.
A male was a dangerous animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you mean.
Kind of disposition they have.
Yeah, they had a bad disposition. No, they had that doggone old tush, and then they had, we called it a wetter, a thing about that long. They'd wet that old tush on that, you know, you hear them, you know.
How could you tell when they were mad?
Oh, it wasn't no trouble. You could hear them chomping, you know, and. Yeah, you could tell.
Did something stand up on their back?
Yeah, bristles.
Yeah.
Up, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, they was bad on a dog. There's been many a good dog killed in them, too. Yeah. Dog had to watch them. He knew, dog knew it, but sometimes, you know, he'd get a little bit too brave and get caught, cut their guts out. I've seen them take that and bring a dog in, sew him up, you know. Maybe save him, you know, by sewing him up.
Yeah.
No, they're a dangerous thing, the males is. But, the hogs we had here in the woods didn't grow as big as a blooded hog you have today, you know. But I've seen plenty of them kill out of the woods, you know, a dress over 200 pounds at the bar, you know. Sows didn't get quite that big. But, you know, they got them now, a dress 300, 400 pounds, you know, or more of these bloody hogs, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. But these are just common old woods. We call them pine wood rooters. That's about the name they went under. But the things was, they was tough, and they could take it good, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had them long old snouts. Now, a calf, when you were weaning him, he'd always begin to make a noise. You said he would begin to.
You mean when
he'd start to.
I don't know what we would term that. Yeah. You bet they raise sand, you know, to get back to their mammy when you separate them. We just call it weaning them, is all I know.
A kind of a gentle noise she might make when you were feeding her, you'd say she'd begin to.
Yeah, yeah.
Start. What'd you call it? You say she was.
We call it a moo, you know, just moo, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would, you know. A lot of when you're fixing to feed them, you know, a lot of them would do that. Like they're well, kind of begging, you know, for it, I reckon.
Yeah. And a horse.
He nickered.
Yeah, nickered.
Yeah.
Oh. Well.
A mule, they bray.
Yeah. You'd have to go out and, you know, it'd be getting late in the evening. You might say, whoa, it's getting, didn't realize it was so late. All the animals are starting to make noise. It's just about in the late evening. That was what time? That was.
Well, they'd usually get around what we call sundown, you know, and that would start, you know.
Yeah.
Just a little bit before dark, they'd begin to get a little restless for that feed. That mule I lost, last July, he'd let me know when it's feed time out there, you know. He'd turn loose a bray, you know. Now it's feed time.
How old was that mule when he died?
There ain't no telling, man. I bought him an old mule. He was a well-trained mule, an old man. If he's the mule I thought he was, and I believe it was, that old man, he's a Hungarian. And he gave up farming, and he sold him over to Emmett, to an old fellow over there, Cobb, that just buys them up, still does. I went over and bought one or two from him. I bought this one from him, and the mule was getting gray when I bought him. I kept him some 12 or 14 years. And he was an old mule when I bought him. He got to where he couldn't eat nothing.